Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Once again, we come and we look into what it is that God wants to share with us today. And, you know, on day 759 of the lockdown, I was praying, because that's what it feels like sometimes, right? I was praying in the week, and God really started to get a hold of me. I started to weep, and I started to cry, because His presence was just so strong in my house. And in this pandemic series that we've been sharing over these past, must be nearly 8 weeks, I guess, 7 or 8 weeks, you know, we've been hearing about what God wants to do in these situations. We've looked at the situation. We've looked at some of the things around it. But what does God want to do in it? And I really believe that God wastes nothing. And so today I want to continue in this pandemic series. And today we're going to be looking at a message called Survival or Revival. And I really want you to just focus in for the next half an hour or whatever it is that I'm going to take to just really listen and open up your heart. And first of all, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, in this place, in this presence, in our homes, oh God, You can be everywhere at the same time. You are a multidimensional being. And that means that You can be everywhere at the same time in our space and time. So be with us today. Would You open up every heart? Would You open up every mind and every life to Your truth? Lord, would You answer questions that people have asked? And would You even, oh God, begin to stir some questions that need to be asked? Because You alone are the answer. Lord, would You help us, those of us that love You, those of us that follow You, those of us who've been transformed because of You, live in a way, Jesus, that gives You a reward for Your sacrifice. Thank You for being with us. In Jesus' name, amen. For the past few months, whenever I prayed before a service, I've sensed God in such a powerful way, almost as if, you know, Jesus is right there, and He is. And I really want you to open up your hearts today. There's a scripture in Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 3. Just two verses I want to read. And it says this, it's Peter, the apostle, preaching. And we'll look at the circumstances of his preaching, but it's so powerful. And he says this, he says, "Now repent of your sins and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and He will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah." Before we start, I want to ask you a question. Where's your head at? Where's your head at? Now, I know that in this time of pandemic and lockdown, you know, maybe you've been locked down with your wife, hello, or your husband more than maybe before, and maybe your head is not in the same place, or you've been locked down with your kids, or you've been locked down with your parents, whatever it is, your brother, your sister, being homeschooled together, you know, whatever it is. But it can have an effect on the way that we think. And we should never negate the effect of our mind in doing things in our lives, in propelling us into different places within our lives. So when I ask the question, where is your head at? I think that this is a question that we all need to stop and ask ourselves right now, because of the changes that have come upon the world that we live in. And if people ask me, you know, Pastor, what do you think is going to happen? I'll tell you this right now, Things are never going to be the same as they were. Oh, there might be a semblance of normality that comes back. There will be things, obviously, that come back into play. But things are going to be BC now and AC, before Corona and after Corona. This thing is going to play out within our lives for many years to come. You know, if you watch the news channels, which I personally recommend you do sparingly, because there ain't no good news on the news channels. The only good news you get at the moment is on Facebook or YouTube when you log into Victory Outreach Manchester or in other churches, because that's what we preach. We preach the good news. Some of you are laughing. But here's the thing. If you log into the news, man, you're going to see either the numbers of people dying or predictions of economic disaster or of how things could be done better. Even now, you've got the snipers. You know, you should have done this better. You could have done that better. But how many of you know? No one knew what we were doing when this thing came about. Church leaders didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know that months later, we were still not going to be able to meet in our buildings, that our kids were going to be off school, that people weren't going to be at work, that money was going to run out. That people didn't know. No one knew what was taking place. I don't think anyone knew that we were going to be in the place we're at. And I don't think anyone can actually deny whatever the theory that you ascribe to. And there are many theories out there. And let me say this about conspiracy theories. Some of them are wacky. Some people just need to wipe their mouth. Sometimes on social media, it's like quarantine's got talent with the amount of people coming up with this thing or that magic trick or this thing or that thing. But the thing is this, that some of the best conspiracy theories have come true over the years. But wherever your mindset, wherever you're thinking about all of this stuff, I don't think anyone can deny that we're in a worldwide crisis. You know, just as we were preparing for this, the Lord dropped something in my heart, and I want to share it with someone that's watching. I don't know who it is. I do this very rarely, but someone who's watching. You're worried about your business coming out of this pandemic. You're worried about how you're going to restore your business. And I want to let you know this is what the Lord says to you, that He is going to give you ideas and innovative ideas. There's going to be innovation, innovative ideas that come to you that's going to spread the opportunities for your business in different directions. Doors are going to open that you have not opened, that He is opening for you, because He knows your heart. You don't even believe in Him yet, but He knows your heart, and He is going to do it for you. And when He does it, and when you come through this, just stop and take a moment and thank Him. We understand there's a worldwide crisis. It's very interesting how the word crisis is defined in English. I was looking through the dictionary, and there are three main definitions that I came up with. The first one is that it is a time of intense difficulty or danger. And we see that. There's a danger to people in certain echelons of society. We've seen that our old people, our care, people in care homes, you know, are dying disproportionately. You know, this seems to affect people in care homes, but also in the black, Asian, and minority ethnic groupings, there seems to be a disproportionate amount of danger in this. And we have to work out why. Why is that? Is it just because that those people are in certain jobs that other people are not at? Or, you know, why is it? And these are things that we need to look at and pray about. We have almost 40 people in frontline NHS and care home jobs in our church. And I was just praying for one yesterday that was tested for coronavirus, who's a nurse. And I was praying for her. And she's black, she's African, and she's a woman of God, but it happened to her, it hit her. So, you know, these things are happening. We need to work out why, but there's danger, difficulty or danger. The second definition is that a crisis is a time when difficult or important decisions must be made. I don't know about you, but there's some incredibly difficult decisions that are coming up. You're going to send your kids back to school? You're going to go back to work? How are you going to get there? You're going to go on public transport? You work too far away to get on your bike or walk. You haven't got a car. What are you going to do? Crisis. Decisions need to be made. And then the third one is this. It was the turning point of a disease when an important change takes place, indicating either recovery or death. We're at a crisis point. We thought we were in the crisis. You know, we've been going through this crisis. But how many of you know there comes a point, even in the crisis, when you hit a crisis point? What decisions are you going to make that are going to take you one way or another? That's where we're at right now, man. Even though, you know, Boris Johnson kind of unlocked the lockdown and then locked it back up and unlocked it and then locked it back up and all that stuff. And I know what people are thinking and what they're saying. But the fact is this, there are people out there on the streets right now living as if there was no lockdown. What decisions are we going to make at crisis point? Now, I was also, when I was studying this, I came up with something very interesting. And it was from the Chinese. And, you know, we know that the Chinese, you know, this came from China, right? But watch this, what the Chinese say about this word crisis. There are two characters, Chinese characters, that are used for their word crisis. And one character represents danger. And we've looked at that. But the other character, watch this, that's in there in that word is opportunity. Opportunity. They believe that in every crisis experience, both of these can be present. So crisis is a dangerous situation that can present an opportunity. See, when you focus just on the danger, you can become paralyzed by fear. And the thing is, there are so many people right now paralyzed by fear. You know, you see it when you're at the supermarket. You see it when you're on the streets. Lately, it's kind of been easing a little bit. People have gone from fear. You've got one part of the population is really in fear, and it is a dangerous situation. And some parts of the population kind of now feel as if it's okay now. They don't care. But fear can paralyze you. But if you focus on opportunities, and I'm not talking about just taking your foot off the pedal and just making out as if this thing doesn't exist, but I'm looking at what decisions are you going to make in this situation that are going to help you going through it. When you look at opportunity, not only can you come through the crisis, but you can come through the crisis in a stronger position than the one that you even went into it in. And I don't know about you, but that's the one I want to go. I want to come out of this crisis even stronger. I want our church to come out even stronger. I want the church to come out even stronger. And I believe that God wastes nothing. And we are the ones, you are the one that chooses which one you're going to focus on, danger or opportunity. Ain't no one else's decision, it's yours. So what one are you going to choose? So where's your head at? Where's your thinking at? What is your mind focusing on right now? Is it focusing on doom and gloom? Or is it focusing on, you know, the fact is that weeping endures for a night, the Bible says, but joy comes in the morning. Are you focusing on the darkness of night, or are you focusing on the morning's going to come and things are going to go all right? Things are going to happen. You're going to get through this. There are two main mindsets, especially in a time like this, and I call these survival and revival. You have a survival mindset or you have a revival mindset. This is true whether you're a Christian or whether you're an unbeliever. You have these mindsets. The first one, survival, is where you just want to get by. You just want to make it through, man. You just want to shut up shop, lock down completely, not see anyone, not do anything, not think of anything, not make any plans, just get by and just hope that everything's going to return to normal so that you can get your holiday again. You can, are you with me? And I understand this, I get it, that surviving is always a better option than not surviving. If there's a choice between survival and not survival, then you choose survival. But that's not really what we're talking about. But do you just want to get by in this world, or is there another option? Do you know that there's more to life than what society, this world society, offers? There's more than just selfish comfort or getting more stuff. There's more than just living in and for the moment. Yeah, we are to live in the moment, but we're also to have one eye on the future. In the Bible, the Apostle John, who was one of Jesus's closest friends, he wrote this in his little epistle, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. He says this. Now understand, when we're talking about the world, we're talking about the social structures that are human made, that are selfish and greedy. That's what the world is talking about. Often in opposition to the Creator and how He intended it, right? So he says this, do not love the world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. But watch this. Some of you are saying, well, that ain't too bad. You know what? I used to live like that. I lived for the cravings of the flesh. You know, I used to party. I used to go about and run around and do my thing and take drugs and get lost in this and want to earn that and want to do this and take that. It was all about me. I've done all that. I've lived all that. And it was never enough. But then watch what he says. He says, this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. Don't forget, man, that when this crisis happened and the lockdown happened, that all of a sudden you started asking questions and you started finding answers to those questions. You started taking more time with family. You started contacting more people. You started having a little bit more quality. You started slowing down from the rat race. You started disengaging and unplugging from stress and from madness in some degree, right? This world is fading away, but then he says, but anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. There's more to life than just survival. I don't often use movies in my sermons, but this was because my younger brother was in this movie. It's called Troy. I don't know if you've seen it, Troy. And my younger brother was playing one of the lead parts. His name is Brad Pitt. You're thinking, well, he's not your younger brother. Well, someone said to me once, I said, I was looking good once. I had my hair cut, which I haven't had for about 2 months. Hello. I was looking good. I'd had a trim down. My beard wasn't looking so rugged. Come on, somebody. And I said to someone once, I said, do I look like Brad Pitt? And they said, no, you look more like his older brother, Arm. So anyway, my younger brother, Brad, was one of the lead characters, and he was playing the Greek hero called Achilles. And I don't know if you've ever watched it, but you see the scene, and there were two armies lined up against each other. There was the Greek army, and there was an army from somewhere else, and the two kings met together to settle their differences with their champions in single combat. Oh, that we would do that now. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine China and someone else, or Russia and someone else, or America and someone else? Just meeting in single combat with their two champions, but there they were. And one of the kings, the enemy king, turned around and shouted, rah, 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 rah. He said something, I don't know what he said, called someone by name. And all of a sudden, this great big pumped up, steroid looking, Nephilim giant looking dude came out, all scarred up, looking huge. I think it was the Salford army, I'm not sure. He came out. And there he came out, and he was standing there, huffing and puffing. And the other king turned around and shouted out, Achilles! And Achilles was off, playing happy families with some wanton people. And so he sent a messenger to get him. You know the story, right? I'm just getting into it a little bit too much. Hallelujah. But here's the thing, here's the point. So the little messenger boy rode up, and he found Achilles, and Achilles came out, looking like me, but younger. all cut and, you know, long hair, his armor. And he said to him, he said, the king's calling for you. So he came out, and then the boy said this. Check this out. He said, the Thessalonian you're fighting, he's the biggest man I've ever seen. I wouldn't want to fight him. And Achilles said this. He said, that is why no one will remember your name. Boom. Do you want to live in such a way that no one remembers your name? Do you just want to survive through life? Just getting by? Just taking the path of least resistance? Or do you want to stand up, step up, and make a difference in your life? Do you want to be someone who lives and gets by and never gets touched by anything and never jumps into anything, never stands for anything and ends up falling for everything? Do you want to get by in life to the point where when you die, and everyone dies, that when you die, no one even remembers you lived? I don't know about you, but I don't want that for my life. I don't want that for your life. That's why we have to remember, if you live a life only of survival, it might turn out that you live a life that no one remembers. And listen, it ain't even just about you. What about the people around you? They need what you've got. They need who you are. They need your experiences. They need your nature. They need your love, your guidance. They need you to make a stand. You want to live like that? Or do you want to live to fulfill your potential? Do you want to live a life that God created you to live? To live the sort of life that gives Christ a reward for his sacrifice? So what are you really saying right now? Let me survive in this world, or let me be revived for this world. In our opening scripture, remember we found Peter the apostle preaching one of the most powerful sermons given in the Bible. God had just used his life in an amazing way by giving him the faith to pray for a crippled beggar at the gates of the temple in Jerusalem. And the beggar had been miraculously healed. It's a powerful scripture when you get to it. There's this beggar there and everyone's walking past and he's there and he looks up and he asks them for something. He wants something. He wants to get something from them. That's what beggars do. They want a handout. They need a handout. And Peter looked at him and said, silver and gold we do not have. And how many of you know that's Christianity? We're not the richest people in the world. We haven't got all the money in the world. There might be a couple of people in the world, a few of the big-time preachers that have planes and jets and this and that, but most of us do it because we're called to do it, and we do it as sacrifice. And Peter said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And he grabbed him by the hand and lifted him up, and immediately the bones of his ankles, and it's a really, really important thing that is a medical thing that is actually said in the original scripture, that he got up, they all knitted together, and he got up and he walked. A miracle took place. And then after that, people started to ask questions. They started to gather around. People heard what had happened, and Peter took his opportunity and spoke to them boldly, telling the people to repent. This word in the language of the New Testament is a word that means to change your mind. Sort your head out, change your mind. And then he said, repent and turn back. And that word, it means to turn not just back from something, but towards something. And he was talking about turn back from doing your own thing and turn towards God, who created you, who loves you, who's there for you. Change your mind and turn back. And you're saying, but how do I do that? Do I want to do that? Why should I do that? What does that mean to me? Listen, when you were born with your back turned to God. And every decision you made and every step of the way, you went further and further away from him. So no wonder you don't understand. Because you're so far away from God, some of you, that you don't understand. It's okay, I've been there. But he said, repent. Change your mind, man. and turn to God. And when you do that, you get a clean slate. And with that new start comes a relief and a release and a refreshing. That's what happened to me 25 years ago for my lifestyle of madness and hell. Literally, if you can talk about hell on earth, death and madness and destruction, and violence and just darkness, then that was my life. Hopelessness, that was my life. And my back was turned to God. But when I heard this, when I heard the word of God, something happened, something, questions started to be asked, and I changed my mind. And I turned to God, and I was relieved. Oh, it was like a weight came off me, man. It was like a relief. There was still a process that I had to go through, and I'm still going through it now in certain areas of my life. But that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of this refreshing. It's new. It keeps being new. There's something else to be refreshed. That's the beauty of living a life with Jesus. But all of this happened. Things begin to look and sound and feel new again, including your faith. Some of you, you're believers watching this, and your faith has got old and tired like an old garment. It's old and worn out. Your wineskin has become old and cracked and stiff. And you need a refreshing. Because this isn't just a one-off thing. It isn't just something that happens when you first begin to follow Jesus. There are times within our lives subsequent to that, even as born-again believers, when the gravity of life just drags us down to the dirt again. You know, there are people that don't have money. There are people that are losing their jobs. There are believers that die of the coronavirus. There are families that pray. My wife had cancer. How does that work out? We've had sickness. We've had madness. My son was sick. My kids were sick. All different things took place. Gravity of life drags you down. Even being a pastor, let me be really honest. Let me be honest. I've been a pastor here in Manchester for 17 years with my beautiful wife, Vicky. We started from nothing. We started from scratch, just a few people. And we saw God build and build and grow as we reached out. We took drug addicts into our house and lived with us. We had like 19 or 20 living with us at one point in a place in Oddsall in Salford. And now we continue to reach out to them. But how many of you know that it ain't always been easy? And even last year was horrible for us. We had some people come against us. We had some stuff take place. People leave us, stab us in the back. I've got so many wounds in my back. Let me tell you, it's like a knife rack. How many of you know hurting people hurt people? But it even got to a point in my life, and I'm traveling the world, I'm preaching in great big conferences, I'm seeing tremendous things, I'm speaking to politicians, and I'm doing this and doing that. But it got to the point where the gravity of life dragged me down into the dust. And I had nothing. I couldn't even go on. I was starting to get depressed. This was last year, man. I was starting to get depressed. I'm like, and I struggled with that from a kid. That's why I took drugs. And I remember going before God. And I said this. I prayed and I was earnest. I was done. I was so weary, so tired, so broken. And I said, God, either replace me or revive me. Replace me or revive me. You want to remove me? Remove me. But if you don't, then revive me. Listen, it happens. Some of you right now, you're watching this. You're in lockdown. Again, you don't know what's happening. Again, you're in lockdown. You might be shielding. You're looking for, when am I ever going to get set free from this? And the gravity of life drags you down. Well, let me tell you right now. Thank God we serve a God that brings newness and freshness at any time within your life. It even happened to the preacher Peter. He'd followed Jesus for over 3 years. But on the night before Jesus' crucifixion, Peter was identified as one of his disciples and he chose survival. He denied that he knew him. He said, I don't know him, I don't know him. He chose survival. And he went away. The comfort of being known, of the comfort of not being known was too much for him. And the fear of being known, of being exposed, it was too much. And even though he didn't die physically, he began to die emotionally and he began to die spiritually. Maybe that's happened to you in some way. But thank God he can raise the dead. Thank God we serve a God that can raise dead things to life. And just as Jesus rose from the grave, so God can revive us. Before Peter preached about revival, he received it in himself. On the day of Pentecost, in the book of Acts chapter 2, we see that those that were gathered there together, not everyone was there at the time. Jesus had been seen by 500 people at once. He told them to go to Jerusalem from Galilee and wait there for the gift of the Father. And we see that 120 of them were gathered in this upper room. And then on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection, the full feast out of the seven feasts of Israel, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit came down and landed upon everyone. God personally filled Peter and the others who had made themselves available. And then with that inspiration, Peter went out and spoke boldly for the first time. This was a guy who didn't want to be seen. He didn't want to be known. And all of a sudden, there's a revival that's come upon him. Something has taken place within his life. And he's speaking to all of these different people. They were in hiding before this because of the danger. But now he saw the opportunity. And inspired by God and filled with that passion and that boldness, he spoke. And 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. 3,000. From a man that had been broken and busted. As we say in Victory Outreach, busted, disgusted, and couldn't be trusted. But God revived him. That's the power of revival. It's about dead things coming to life and old, worn out things becoming new. Old and tired faith getting livened up. Old dreams made new. Blurred vision becoming clear. It's literally as if you've entered into a new dimension and you're so close to the presence of God that you see everything else in its real form. How many of you know when you've seen the truth, when you've felt the truth, tasted the truth, you can tell the fake and the lie from a mile away? I've worn real Nike trainers, so when I go down Cheetah Mill, come on somebody. For those of you that are tuning in from elsewhere, you know that there's a place in your city where they sell cheaper than normal clothes and handbags and shoes and stuff. Hello. But the fake thing wears out too quick. But the real thing, oh, come on. Things that scared you begin to lose their power over your life when God becomes real within you. Things that you were tricked into thinking really mattered. It don't matter how big your car is, how new your car is, how big your couch is. It don't matter how many holidays you have. It don't matter what you wear. It doesn't matter as much as what is inside you, beating in your heart, or what is going through your mind. All those things don't matter in the same way anymore once God has become real in your life. You remember your purpose and you remember your power. And it's more viral than the coronavirus. Let me tell you, when someone catches a hold of God and when God catches a hold of them and they have seen him and they have experienced him and they know him, it becomes more viral than any other virus out there. And it is a virus of hope, not a virus of despair and destruction. Listen, revival is coming to this church, Victory Outreach Manchester. Revival is coming to this city of Manchester. Revival is coming to this nation. And I believe that revival is coming to this generation. Listen, if enough people catch this, it can go from being a one person that has been revived to it going out and they become a spreader and a super spreader of hope. That's what evangelism is. That's what the good news is. That's what sharing the gospel is. That's why people like me are so passionate. Because I see people's lives change. I see things happen. I see people get set free. I see dead things come to life. And when it catches and when it goes out, it goes from being a local epidemic to becoming a national epidemic, to then it starts to travel to different nations and it becomes a pandemic. Imagine a pandemic of revival. Imagine a pandemic of hope. Imagine a pandemic of newness. Imagine a pandemic of life. Imagine people everywhere acting like Jesus. Forget socialism, forget capitalism. That's the kingdom of God. That's how creation was intended to be. That we would be there doing what God wanted us to do under his covering, his benevolence, his love. And everything was at peace. Until sin and selfishness, a sense of wanting to just be God yourself, autonomy, until that came in. Imagine the hope and the joy and the help that would come upon the world. Imagine the darkness that would be exposed. Oh yeah, there's stuff going on, man, but it's well hidden. But it's only hidden because the light is not shining on it. Then only the most hardened hearted of people would resist Jesus. For God so loved the world, John said, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. But men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You know, there was a famous debate once between two scholars, an atheist, a famous atheist from Oxford, who I won't mention his name, but it rhymes with Hawkins. And then there was another guy who was a Christian, called John Lennox, and they were in debate, and the atheist said, he said, Christians are just people that are afraid of the dark. And John Lennox replied, and he said, atheists are just people that are afraid of the light. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. So how does it come? How does revival come? Revival comes through the ways we've been talking about in this pandemic series over the weeks. First of all, you repent. You repent, man. Turn away from yourself and turn to God. You're not the creator, he is. Change your mind and turn to him. Because one day life is going to end. And you're going to be judged for how you lived. And if you want to be judged based upon yourself, then good luck. But when you turn to Jesus, you're judged based upon what he has done. And he passed the test for you. Repent and then reset. It's time for a reset. Look honestly at what needs changing and press the button. Pull the trigger. Make the decision and make your business God's business. And then you will be refreshed. You will be revived because God will then make your business his business. And when God is on your side, there is nothing else that can come against you. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. No enemy, no situation can take you down, but the God won't lift you back up. So where's your head at? You're just going to keep on surviving? Or do you want to start thriving? The choice is yours. So do something for real right now and ask Jesus to reveal himself to you as the King of the universe. I'm not going to pray any big prayers or anything. I'm just going to say, listen, you know what to do. Turn to Jesus. Say, Jesus, if you're real, show yourself to me. I did that in a car park outside a gym on a Wednesday night in July 1995 as a drug-dealing, heroin-addicted criminal. And Jesus showed himself to me. And he took away the weight of everything that I'd done. And in its place, he gave me peace. And he gave me joy. And he gave me purpose. And he gave me life. He wants to do the same for you. Jesus is going to return. And when he does, he wants to see you on his side. So break free from that subtle prison camp that you're in your mind. And start to live like you mean it. I want to pray for you right now. You've been watching for the first time and you don't know what's happening. You've just been hit with this preacher just screaming and sweating and spitting. Listen, it's passion. It's inside me. God wants to do something in your life. He loves you so much, but you can't keep going on in the same way, man. Forget religion, forget churchianity, forget all the things that maybe you were dragged up in or you learned or all of the people that have hurt you and all that stuff. It ain't about that. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. The other stuff is just trappings, it's fluff, it's stuff that we put around it. And there are as many different styles of church as there are people. Ethnic churches, cultural churches, city churches, you name it. Young churches, old churches, multicultural churches. There's no one size fits all, man. And that's because people are in different sizes. And there's somewhere you can fit. But first of all, turn to Jesus. Father, I pray for everyone watching. Lord, you love them. Oh God, you love them. But God, you want to embrace them. You want to hold them. You want them to come to you. Some of them are saying, well, why doesn't he come to me? He did. He did come to you. He came as a man called Jesus Christ. How many more times do you want him to come and die for you? He did it once and that was enough. That when you come to him, he can change your life and make it new. You're still going to have the same personality. You're still going to have the same memories, you're going to still have that, but he's going to wipe away the darkness. He's going to wash away the guilt and the shame. So Father, I pray that you would reach out right now and touch every broken heart, touch every hardened heart and soften it, touch every broken heart and fix it and mend it, touch every heart that is far from you and call them to you, oh God. Right now, reach out where they're at. Right where you're at, in the name of Jesus. If you're on a phone, if you're in your garden, if you're sitting in your living room, in your car, wherever it is that you are right now, at work, wherever it is that you are right now, I pray the Holy Spirit would just be with you, the angels would surround you, that this moment would be holy. And then for those, God, that believe in you, that have got weary, got worn down, have started getting tired, have started just going through the motions, just falling back into that old survival mode, I pray revive them, oh God. Revive us. Send your word and heal. Revive us, oh God. Renew us, restore us. Release your power. Release your power into our world, oh God. Once more, would you do it?
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Go to vomanchester.org for more information.